praise God. I'm excited. I am so excited. God has just been confirming all the way through the service the word. So praise his name. He obviously wants us to pin our ears back and to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, I thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, that you're way ahead of us. You know exactly what we need. You know exactly who's going to be here. And Lord, everything is orchestrated by you. And we submit to that and thank you for that. And we give you praise. And Father, I pray that by the Spirit of God, you will implant seed in our hearts this afternoon that will never ever... Well, your word is incorruptible and it has to produce a harvest. So Father, we agree that the word today will take root in our hearts, that incorruptible seed, and will produce a harvest, 30, 60 and 100-fold, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's been saying a few things to me, but it started in Isaiah chapter 28. And you may not like this, but it spoke to me first in the message, so I'm going to give it you from the message, because that was just the beautiful word that took a hold of me. How many of you read God's word and suddenly your eyes are drawn to something, or your spirit just skips inside you and you think, he's talking to me? I know he is. He said something to me a few weeks ago and it skipped in my heart, but I didn't know why he'd said it. I wasn't looking for that at that particular time. But some weeks later, I began to realise the Spirit of God brought it back to me. And it's like, oh, that's why you said that, God. He's way ahead. He knows what you need when you need it, and he will give it to you. He is so abundantly gracious and good. I've headed this a new generation. God's looking for a new generation of people who will take him at his word. Okay? It's what he says, not what's happening, that is the truth. And that's what we stand on, what he says. Amen? And in Isaiah 28 and verse 16 in the message, it says this. Watch closely. I'm laying a foundation in Zion, a solid granite foundation, squared and true. And this is the meaning of the stone. A trusting life will not topple. And I thought, God, a trusting life will not topple. If we look to circumstances, we'll go down. If we listen to our emotions, if we listen to our moods, we will go way down. But God says, you trust me, you keep my word in front of your eyes, and you will never, ever topple. You will never be a victim of circumstances. Woo! I really like that. And then, as I was looking through the Amplified yesterday, that verse is connected with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4-9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4-9. Again, I'm going to read this from the message because it's very powerful. It's about the stone that says you won't topple, a trust in life. Won't topple. He says, welcome to the living stone, the source of life. Ooh. The workman took one look at it and threw it out. God set it in the place of honour. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary that's vibrant with life. Woohoo! Amen. In which you will serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. What were we confessing just a minute ago? I'm a royal priesthood. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, belonging to God. wow, if the Spirit of God is not moving in this place, I don't know who is. It's the Spirit of God. And then it goes on, look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honour. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workmen threw out is now the chief cornerstone. For the untrusting, it's a stone that they trip over. It's a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey, just as predicted. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference that he's made to you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Woo! Is that packed with power? To me it is. I just skipped when I read that yesterday. I thought, God, this is the church that Jesus wants. He wants a church vibrant with life, vibrant with the Spirit of God, vibrant with a priestly, holy people, God instruments to do his work, to speak out for him. He wants a vibrant church full of the Spirit of God and people saying, God, I'll listen to you. What have you got to say? What do you want me to do today? I want to speak out for you. I want to share. I want to encourage. I want to bless the people of God. That's what Jesus is looking for. That's the church that Jesus wants. He doesn't want a church of happy, clappy people who will just go into the beat of the music. He does not want a church that's fully stuffed of intellect and no praise, no outlet. He wants a church that's vibrant with life and vibrant to share it and so excited they can't keep quiet. Amen? Is that me? Is that you? Amen. It certainly is. That stone is Jesus. That stone is Jesus. Jesus is the name above all names. Amen? Praise God. When Jesus went to the cross, when he died, he went down into hell. He went there as our substitute. So he didn't need to go. It wasn't for his benefit. It was for our benefit that Jesus went to hell. And there, he forced Satan to bow the knee. He took the keys of death and hell away from him. And God raised Jesus up by the power of the name Yahweh. Amen? Yahweh. Now, I don't think I pronounced that properly at all. But it's a very difficult name to pronounce because it has no vowels. It's YHWH, Yahweh. Now, I read something very interesting the other day about that word, the name of God. That is the name of God, the awesome, all-powerful name of God. And the Jews were so awesomely fearful of that name. They would not speak it for fear that they would take the name in vain and the power behind that name or embodied in that name would kill them. The power of that awesome name of God. It's also said that before the scribes would write that name, they would go and do the sacrificial, the sacred process of bathing and washing themselves. Before they would even write that word, they had such a vision, such an awesome revelation of the power invested in the Almighty God. And yet we hear it as a curse name on the street. Wow, we need such respect for sacred things, holy things for holy people. When Jesus was raised from the dead, when God raised him, we read in Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10. Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore also God exalted him, that's Jesus, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the beings in heaven and the beings on earth and the beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Woo! Is that a power-packed verse? Oh man, he gave him the name of Jesus, the highest name in heaven and earth. Wow! Jesus, that name that split hell wide open and it left Satan paralyzed, whipped and defeated. That name that conquered sin and guilt and sickness and disease and broke the curse and said, it is finished. The curse. He took the curse so that we don't have to. All sickness is the curse. So when sickness, and it will try to attach itself to you, we need to know that we know that we know that that's not mine. I am not cursed. Am I cursed or am I blessed? I am blessed. Jesus took the curse. He broke its power. I need to stand in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. I love what the early church used to say. God became man that man might become God. That's a powerful statement. Wow. He became man that man might become God. Think where he's placed us. We are seated with him in heavenly places, in charge of running the universe. Amen? That's how powerful. That's where he's taken us, to the highest place where he is. We are co-heirs with Christ. Woo! Amen. I just want to talk for a few seconds about the actual name of Jesus. You may not know, you may know, that in the Hebrew and Greek languages, every letter has a numerical value. And the numerical value of the name of Jesus is 888. Woo! 888. What is 8? 9's completion. 8 is a new beginning. A new day. A new day. 8 is resurrection. 8 is restoration. 8 is regeneration. What time of year are we in? Regeneration. It's no coincidence that he came at this time of year when all nature is doing what he did, regenerating, resurrecting, new life. It's all about Jesus. But it's interesting to note that everywhere in Scripture that has to do with the Lord carries the number of his name. There are 8 miracles of Elijah. There are 16 miracles of Elisha. Why? He got a double blessing. Woo! Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, which is the 8th day. The Feast of Tabernacles lasts 8 days. The number 8 and multiples of it also apply to the other names of Jesus. Lord, Christ, Saviour, Emmanuel, Messiah, Son. They all are multiples of 8. Wow. 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 And another interesting fact. Conversely, the number 13, multiples of 13, always speaks of rebellion. And here's some interesting things. The line of Ishmael, 13. The line of Saul, 13. The line of the enemies of Ezra, 13. The line of the enemies of Nehemiah, 13. The Hebrew and Greek names of Satan, 13. You've only to look at the numbers and you know who's for him and who's against him. God knew all that before these people were born, before they were ever named. Your name is not an accident. God, talk about, he knows the hairs of, numbers of hairs on our head. He chose your name. He called you by name. Don't tell me he doesn't know everything. Every intimate detail about what's happening to you, and that he doesn't know what tomorrow holds, and that he doesn't have the answer for it. He does! Who better can you trust with your life than him? Whew! Such detail! How intricately detailed and awesome and powerful is our God. God totally strips Satan, not for his benefit, but for the benefit of the church. The benefit of the church, the body, the ecclesia, the church. He has given us his name, and his name carries his presence. All the power invested in it is for us to use as our authority over all the works of the devil. Woo! When we speak his name, it has the same power as when he stood here in person. Ephesians 3 and verse 10 says this, that through the church, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. We rule in the heavenly places. God wants us to exercise our authority in the name of Jesus against the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. His church is to do that. Yes. Ephesians 1 and verse 18 says, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. We have received his inheritance. His inheritance, what he achieved when he went to hell, when he went to the cross, that inheritance he has given to us. It's in his church, it's in his people, it's in his saints. And he says, right now, I've done it for your benefit, because you need to reach, the world needs to see that Jesus is alive in you and me. Amen? That we rule. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. The Great Commission. As Jesus was leaving, he said that he was going to the Father, but he would leave the Holy Spirit, and he left us the power of his name to continue the work. And he said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that's a very, very positive statement. That's a very positive scripture. But that is what the church is here for. That's our great commission. And God wants a church that is prepared to fulfill the great commission. We're not going to fulfill the great commission by imitating the world and doing what the world does, blending. We have to be different. The people need to see that God is alive. Okay? They need to walk in this place and say, oh, oh, oh. Yes, yes, yes. There's something here that I can't work out. It's a presence. And I need to bow the knee. Amen. In John chapter 14 and verse 13, Jesus said, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. He is more than willing to do it. We need to take courage and have confidence in his name to step out and ask, and he will do it. In John 16 and verse 24, he said, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Before this, he said, you've not asked in my name. I've been here. But now I'm saying, I'm leaving my name with you. And in that name is my presence. And everything, every need will be met in my name. So he said, up to this time, you've never prayed in my name. But now, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We're to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and Father will answer every one of our requests. We need to do that. We need to believe what he says. You'll notice here, it doesn't say if you believe or if you have faith. He says a very clear statement, I've given you this name. Now, if somebody gives you something, it's yours. And I don't need faith to respond to that. If Ian gives me £1,000 and I put it in the bank, and I take my little plastic card next day, as I do, and I put it in that wall, I don't need faith to draw £100 of it, do I? He's given it me. It's mine. We always used to say, it's in the bank. That meant, it's sound. It's yours, it's in the bank. Well, let me tell you this, the name of Jesus is in the bank for you. It's sound. Write the cheque. It won't bounce. Do it. He's given it you, and what he's given belongs to you, and no one can take it from you. I don't have any hesitation when I go to my front door or back door, I never use a front door. When I go to my back door, I never hesitate to put the key in the door and know that I've got the keys and I can get in, because this is my house. It belongs, well, our house. It belongs to us. Amen. In the same way, God has given you a key. It's called Jesus. It belongs to you. Spend it. Amen? Don't be hesitant to use it. Jesus has given us the legal right to use his name. And in today's terms, he's given us the power of attorney. When Andrew's auntie was too ill to take control of her finances, she asked us to do power of attorney. And that meant that everything that was in her bank account, I could sign the cheque. We've got the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, use it. Use it. It's yours. Use it. Use it and stand on it. Believe it. Receive it. Go for it. All the power that's in Jesus is invested in that name. Don't hesitate. He's at the back of his word, and he will fulfill it. when we're interceding in prayer before the Father, we do so in the name of Jesus. I hate to hear prayers begging God to do something. It riles me, because God has got more compassion than you or me. He said, don't beg me. Ask the Father in my name, and he will give it to you. No question. Put God in remembrance of his word. When I pray, I love to quote the scriptures to him. When I've been praying over Brexit, I've been saying, God, your word says that you'll frustrate the plans of the people, and your plans can't be thwarted. You say that I forgot the rest of it for now, but anyway, it's in my bag. And I quote that before God, because I know that God has a plan, and it's his plan that's going to happen. Because no principality or power or government or person or politician or prime minister or president or anybody can stop that plan. His plan can't be thwarted, and it will be his plan that happens. But when we're coming against principalities and powers, when we're challenging principalities and powers, we take authority in the name of Jesus. And we say, I stop you. Whatever I stop on earth is stopped in heaven. Jesus said, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, take my name and use it. Use it against the enemy. Bind the principalities and powers. As we worship, we're binding principalities and powers. Praise binds the enemy, immobilizes him. Praise is the almighty force. God inhabits the praises of his people. And he said, I was blessed when I read about Peter in Acts chapter 3. What did he say to the lame man? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did he have? In the name of Jesus. He said, such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Woo! And immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he stood up. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The centurion came to Jesus about his son, and the centurion understood the power of delegated authority, because he was a man in charge of soldiers. And he said, when I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to this one, come, and he comes. Same principle as works in the spirit realm. When you speak the word, he said to Jesus, my servant will be healed. Just speak the word. Hey, what's the word? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. I remember somebody in a very difficult situation, and they didn't know what to do. And so they just shouted, Jesus! And immediately, there was such a peace came over them, and God had an answer. God delivered them. Wow! Power in the name of Jesus. Every good thing that God gives to us, the devil will challenge. Because he does not want you to rise up in your power and your authority, because that's the end of him. And he will challenge. And the greatest challenge to our faith is this, and the sense realm. Well, I don't see it. Well, I don't feel it. Well, the pain hasn't gone. Well, I've still got symptoms. Faith says, it's the substance of things you can't see, or you can't feel, or you can't hear. We've not been healed because the pain's gone. We've been healed because The word says, by his stripes I am healed. And if we will stand on that word, James 4 and verse 7 tells us this: submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now he's an awkward character, and sometimes he will withstand you. But eventually he has to submit. Because the name above all names, has commanded him, has spoken the truth into the situation, not feelings or emotions. The word, the truth, the life has been spoken into that situation. And it will bow the knee to the name of Jesus. However long it takes, are you here for the long haul? Yeah. Amen. I'm here for the long haul. If God says it, I believe it, that settles it. True? What did it say in Ephesians 6? Having done everything, stand. Oh, God. Having done everything, stand. What was it? It was one of David's mighty men. He stood in a field. And how many warriors did he kill? His sword stuck to his hand, he killed that many. He stood in that field. And he stood his ground. And he came against the enemy. And he killed a lot of them. He stood and he stood and he stood. He didn't look around, there's only me and how many of them is there? He stood. Determined. Well, we can have full confidence in the word of God, because the word of God will not let you down. We have to rest implicitly in the living word. This word's alive. When you quote it, it's as alive today as it was in the mouth of Jesus. And it will do what it didn't today, when Jesus walked the earth. This word is the same. He is the word, the living word. We are lively stones, living word, a living church, living stones, vibrant, alive, woo! Quickened from the dead. I love the message on this one. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The message says, God means what he says. His powerful word is as sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. It will cut through everything. Whether doubt or defense, it will lay us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. You send that word against your enemy. You send that word. How did Jesus overcome the devil in the wilderness? It is written. He quoted the word of God to the devil. And eventually he got the message and he went. We need to do the same. When circumstances are not lining up with the word of God, don't cave in, don't topple. A trust in life won't topple. God says, stand your ground. Quote my word to him. Hit him with it. Hit him with it. Hit him with it. It is written. Amen. Praise God. I believe, well, the greatest battle that any of us will fight is this battle. The battle of the senses. The battle of I don't see it. The battle of I don't hear it. The symptoms are still there. It's not looking any different, God. That's the greatest battle we will ever fight. But if we will stand our ground and have absolute trust in his name, he will bring us through. But be prepared when you get to that point for it to go to the wire. It will go to the wire. When we were in Israel, and I've said the story before, we'd prepaid for a hotel in Jerusalem for 3 days. We'd been in Egypt, and them Egyptians had ripped us off right, left and centre. We got to Israel and we were singing, "My shekels are gone," with nothing. We prepaid the hotel, and that hotel was, after the third night, we were on the street. Let me tell you this, God says he'll never see the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Amen? God always takes care of us. He hears every cry. And Andrew prayed. I joined with him. And he said, "God, you see this maze. Only you know the way through it. Take us out of this maze and show us the way." And then we were hungry, so we went down into the bus station in Jerusalem and got some, I don't know, pita bread filled with all sorts of stuff. And we'd have so much rubbish in Egypt that Andrew said to this Jewish lad stood at the side of us, "Excuse me, but is this food all right? Is it safe to eat?" He said, "Of course it is, it's kosher." So we said, and then God prompted Andrew and he said, "Ask him about accommodation." So he said, "Excuse me, but do you know where there's any accommodation?" He said, "After tomorrow night, we've nowhere to go. And we've no money." And he said to him, "Is there any inexpensive accommodation in Jerusalem?" And he said, "Well, no, not really. It's Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody's in Jerusalem. Everybody." And we felt like Mary and Joseph, no room in the inn. But we took confidence because God took care of Mary and Joseph. It was only a stable, but we did better than that. Thank the Lord. And so he said, "Well, no, I can't," because he said, "Everywhere will be full. But," he said, "I have a big house." And he said, "I've got rooms that are used normally by the students." He said, "But they're all away because it's holiday." So he said, "Their rooms are vacant." He said, "You can come and stay with me." And so he felt in his back pocket and he gave us the key. He said, "This is the key to the house." We could spend that. He said, "This is the key to the house. You catch that number 24 bus over there and I'll see you on Thursday morning. This is the address." Well, he went and we looked at one. We've got a key. I'm sure it'll fit the door because God gave it us. So we just need to do it. Do what God says. We went there on the Thursday. And the key fitted the door, but we didn't need it. Joel was waiting for us and welcomed us in. And he said, "This is your room for the next 8 days. He said, "This is the refrigerator. Use it whenever you want food." And he said, "Feel like it's home." We certainly did. We had one or two meals with him. Wasn't there every night. The dog came and went. Hey, we were so comfortable. But you know, God had taken us to the wire. When you don't have another option, you'll trust God. I know we can trust the medical system, we can go to the medical system. We can go and borrow money and we have to pay it back. But you know, all those resources are in God. He's our healer. He has healed us. We are healed. It's a done deal. We just need to stand on the word of God and say, "I'm healed." We need to know who we are and the authority and the inheritance in His inheritance in you and me. We have that inheritance. We have that power. We have that authority to stand, quote the word, and it will bow the knee, because the name of Jesus is higher than anything the devil can throw at you. But we have to be prepared for it to go to the wire sometimes. Not every time, but quite often the devil will resist you. But God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, that promise stands. That promise is true. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Look at the building. It took 5 years almost. 25 years from the time God said. I think God took us to the wire on it. And when we were told the course of events that brought it all about, it was a miracle, absolute miracle. When everybody was set against us, when committees were set against us and said, they're not having it, God said they are. And he overruled them. I'm quite sure he can do that with governments now. He will overrule. He will have his way. He will have his plan. And we need to stand and say, I'm standing with you, God. I definitely am. Another thing that is really important is our confession. And it's one that is so easy to fall into. Because somebody will say, how are you? I feel rubbish. But that's not what I confess. I need to confess by the stripes of Jesus. If that's your only confession, then let's do it. But don't say what's going off in your life. When things are not going well, don't focus on what's not happening. Focus on the word of God. Focus on it is written. That's how Jesus got the victory over the devil. It is written. That's all I need to know. So our confession has to agree with the word of God. James 1 says, for truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord if he is a man of two minds, if he is uncertain about everything that he decides. That's the amplified version. So God says, your confession needs to line up with what you believe. Don't speak what you see. Bish always used to say to us, well, the sickness is a fact, but it's not the truth. The truth is what the word of God says. Amen. I learnt this over the last 2 days, and I'm excited. And it's about baptism. When we were baptized in water, it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, we put on Christ. We put him on when we were baptized into him. And baptism in this sense is equivalent to marriage. Oh! So, when Andrew and I were married, I put on marriage. Why? Because I took his name. All that he has became mine, and mine his. And his house became my house. When we got baptized, into the name of Jesus. We took on, we put on Christ. We put on the inheritance. We put on the power and authority. We put on all the possessions that were his rights and privileges became ours. Like in the marriage ceremony, when you join with your partner, you join with husband and wife, you are one, you put them on, and everything they have belongs to you. Oh, what an inheritance. But we weren't just baptized. I was not just baptized into the name of Jesus. I was baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what's my inheritance when I put on the Father? When I put on the name of the Father, I obtained all the privileges of a child of God, together with all the inheritance of the wealth of a child. I'm richer than a millionaire. All his wealth, the wealth of the Father, is mine. And he's not stingy. All his protection, his care, and his fellowship. He wants that relationship with me. I'm his child. I put him on as Father. And I receive all the benefits of the fatherhood of God right there and then. I was baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit. I was baptized into the name, the wealth, the power, the wisdom, and the ability of God's representative on the earth. All the Spirit has, I was baptized into. It takes a lot of thinking in. Wow! What God has invested in me. I'm a power-packed human being. The power of God resides within me. God's saying, let me out. Let me out. The name of Jesus, let me out. There's a world out there that I want to get to. I need a vibrant, lively stone of church, a pulsating with the Spirit of God, knowing their authority, and moving and living in me. And through that, I'll reach the nation and beyond. Amen. When we're baptized into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the finished work of Christ. Woo! Whoa. Baptism has a threefold significance. One, you buried your past, the old man's dead. It's finished, don't look back. Two, it's a resurrection into a new relationship. Amen, a new life, a new beginning. And three, it's the union with the one into whose name we have been baptized. I have been baptized into this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. I have all power and all authority invested in me, in the name of Jesus. Oh. If you weren't baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you need to put your name down and we'll baptize you into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You need to have that investment in you. You need to put on that marriage of baptism with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Every victory Jesus won, every triumph was for the benefit of the church. Amen. He didn't need to do it. He had everything. His name, 888. He's in all regions. He's in heaven. He rules in heaven. He rules on the earth and he rules under the earth. He embodies, he fills all three. 888. He's bringing a new day. The new day has begun. And I just say, as the world tries to exclude us more and more, are we willing to be part of that new generation that says, I will stand, I'll take my authority, I'll do spiritual warfare, I'll bind principalities and powers, I'm healed, not because I feel it, because God says it. The situation doesn't look like it's going to happen, but it will, because God says it. If God be for me, who can be against me? The Word of God is the most powerful force in the universe. No demon in hell or situation can block the way. It will go everywhere, cut through everything, and bring the desired effect. God will have his way. He will have a church that is vibrant and pulsating with his power and his authority, not a clappy, happy intellect church. We're on the right road and moving in the right direction. Keep going, because God will fulfill his word. Amen. What he has called you to, he's equipped you to do it, and he is doing it, not you. He just says, you stand. Amen. Praise God.